All right. Gene, my friend, you were up first. Come on. And we were in a booth today recording.
I'm going to read one. You okay?
Yep.
Right. Okay. Okay. I have one short poem, because the other poem isn't about the children. Small boy with bird. A small boy in an oversized coat and sandals had hid behind a bush. 10 soldiers crossed the courtyard in flawless rows of leather and steel. The wall beyond was chipped where some had aimed to miss, naming each finger on each trigger of each rifle, slowly, one by one. He knew which bullets would score and which would not. On the final command, he flicked open the latch of his bamboo cage and lost himself in the glare of the sun. Triumphant, a lunatic stuffed himself with plaudits, bathed himself in praise, laughed at the smell of his dung heap, then blew up the world. A small boy in an oversized coat hid behind a bush.
Thank you, Jane. Artie, I know you're here somewhere.
Artie, come on.
Thanks to Hemingway's, and thanks to June, who does so much of the grunt work, and Michael, who was my mentor. The first one is softness and masculinity. Even as the grunts and growls of the alpha males grow softer and less frequent, my Alamo remains well fortified. I avoid the pride parades, though I hope I deeply feel the awfulness of their ostracism. I once left a full glass of Guinness at the bar when the girl who led me there revealed it was a gay bar. Softness, save it for someone else. At 70, I still lift weights, pose in the mirror, walk with legs like a bull rider or cow poker. If someone asks me what I read, I tell them psycho thrillers and sports. Dare I ever admit Proust? Ask me my favorite all-time actor, I'll say John Wayne, though it is Anthony Hopkins or Walter Matthau. Softness is for the self-confident. Me, I puff up, ride city buses, threaten to sit on grocery bags, book bags, and very small children. To get a seat, my old ass asserts itself. Softness is for melting snowmen and sisters stuck in the 60s. And on my second poem, which will, oh, thank you. Thanks. My second poem will deal with the children who have been taken away from their parents. A grateful immigrant. You ask me, a recent immigrant, what things did I leave behind? Certainly our farm animals that just walked around all day, like ourselves, though we never thought of ourselves as free range. Now that we immigrants made it here, many of us have our children grabbed away. Once that was called kidnapping, but now that the government does it, oh, well, I am here legally. You ask me, what did I leave with? I am not a complicated man. I left with my breath. I love to breathe and think about the air coming in and going out. I left with my fleshy rear end. So good for sitting, and I love to sit. Sit and do nothing. I left with my two good feet, which happily walked off the boat, crowded by many who had no papers. My feet love to touch American soil. So good to walk on dry land. So good to feel the earth under my soles. So you ask me, what did I leave with? I left with everything. Thank you.
Again, we have two poems. We don't know where it's going to go. The next poet, Aaron Novick. Come on, Aaron.
William Carlos Williams banned ideas from poetry unless you put them inside things. I guess because he didn't know that ideas have substance and textures. This poem starts from the ideas of the ancient Greek philosopher Melissus of Samos, who argued that being is homogeneous and that motion is impossible. And most intriguingly said that what is can't feel pain, because if it were in pain, it wouldn't be complete. This poem is titled Melissus. If pain implies some incompletion, this small incursion on bliss is what? What do I make of this nagging note if I believe you that the whole's complete? Or don't you hear it? It doesn't dominate, although it's always there. Moreover, what of motion? Of this mess of forms all giving way in emptiness. Watching a crow divide the moon in two, it's right to look askew at life that magnifies contingency to substance. Unacquainted, crow and moon ignored each other all that afternoon and today are only friendly thanks to me. That's humor of a kind, but I'm still watching with a carcass mind. Maybe you think I'm only kicking stones with my crows and plaintive tones, and maybe I am. Maybe when I rest and, resting, discover that I, too, was still, the mockery truth makes of fiction will seem funnier. That is the surer test, but it will have to wait. I lie in bed and ask Melissus, what? Thank you.
Sheila Kelly.
Sheila Kelly, yay!
Sheila. Come on.
Thank you, Jimmy. You put out the call for poems, and this just came out, so. You deserve to be happy. Just so you know, Mom, I sold the TV. CNN and MSNBC were ruining your sleep, and you have to stop worrying about those secret baby jails and sound bites of toddlers crying. So listen, I canceled your newspaper subscription too, because you won't stop talking about tender age shelters, how attendants aren't allowed to touch the crying kids, and I installed speakers throughout your house, Mom, that play Muzak's hottest harp hits. And maybe this is subjecting you to fits of blandness, but better that than the crying fits you've been having. And I'm bringing over all my self-help books as they're perfect for napping. So when you're good and bored again, you'll be ready for the pottery class I enrolled you in, so you can shape your world into something useful like a bong. Or whimsical like a bowl with holes in it that can't hold anything, like all the tears you're unable to hold in. And a bowl with holes will take your mind off your troubles. All that water spilling on your hands and clothes and feet and floor. Water filling up the kitchen, the hall, the entire house. And you'll be able to kneel and sop it up or squeeze a mop into a bucket over and over until you're exhausted, Mom, and you forget to cry for a little while.
Thank you. We now have three poems. Stefan, come.
So I changed an old poem of mine for Jimmy. And here it is. Seeing them, excuse me, seeing them. In Shimokin, my head lays near a furnace. In Ekli, that furnace is a hearth. For when the river rises, a log is placed, damming the river with flotsam and trash, like lays. The sheeting rain fills up the sewage, dispersing the ground in puddles. Vistas of river's children stalled on the ground, reflection from the eaves, unjustly curved like lays. On Route 22, down a decline, band of orange binding horizon, moving my head, lifting my eyes, off the ground found its place as the angels found their trees, wherever the sun likewise lays.
If you want to type that poem up about the children, bring it to me. Okay, type it. Okay, because I'll give them the Bob Zola. Next poet is my friend, yours, Barry Governor.
I almost didn't make it up here because this feels almost too trite. In 1967, I counseled for 8 weeks at a Madison Square Boys Club in New York State. And this was the first things I ran into. Squirrel and rabbit kids. It's a rabbit. It's a squirrel. It's a rabbit. Having heard, I intervened. See those stripes, little ears, puffy cheeks? That's a chipmunk. With no worry of a fight over, I told you so, I moved on. Today I ask in that situation, who was knowledgeable? Was it me, because I'd had a little exposure to wildlife? That was part of what I knew. What I needed to know at the time was where roofs and refrigerators were, who to call for help, how to earn a little money. Rabbit and squirrel kids, would I have had the courage to jump in the deep end of the pool, peers watching, when I knew I couldn't swim? If I had to keep my street cred, maybe. How many others have to do things I've been spared? In whose other countless worlds could I function independently?